Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' precious name. Thankful to be here with you all this morning and worship together. Thank Brother Steve for the devotions and the other thoughts that have come to us this morning in our worship. I think our minds have been drawn towards things that are not seen, which are eternal. And may that be the effect of our worship today, that we'd be drawn to the things that are away from the things that are temporary, towards the things that are eternal. I was wondering, I think is Jordan Sin. Are you here, Jordan? There you are. I'm sorry, I wasn't sure if you were sitting in the back room or if you were in the auditorium. Thank you. Just couldn't see you. I'd like to give Jordan an opportunity to share a testimony this morning of his conversion experience. And he has chosen to give his heart to Jesus and to follow Jesus. And so we'll give him an opportunity to share his testimony. God bless you, Jordan. Thank you for giving that testimony, and let us be faithful in praying for him and encouraging him in that beginning, that journey. Exactly what it is. Following Jesus in the way, like the blind man, when Jesus healed him, we have that recorded in Scripture that he followed Jesus in the way. Thankful, Lord, for the song also that we sang, the Immortal Invisible. God Only Wise, Brother Steve was commenting on that, and he was focused on a little different aspect. I was thinking about the light. The God who dwells in light inaccessible. Poet put it in those words, and that is in Scripture. We have in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. Now, I've chosen to consider this morning, but given the title to this sermon as Heavenly Light. When we think about light and study it in the Bible, there's a lot that we could look at. But I would like to consider this morning how light and darkness illustrate to us the two kingdoms. They illustrate the kingdom of God and the kingdom that Satan is trying to make. It's actually all he's really doing is trying to overthrow what God has done and what God plans to do. That's all he really can do. But we have those as opposite as light and darkness are opposite. And I'm thankful too that we have in the Word, I think it's in Psalm 27, where God says that, or the psalmist tells the Lord in his testimony, he says that the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It doesn't make any difference. God can see right through. But it does for us in the physical world that we live in. Darkness is real. It's the absence of light. But it's also real in the spiritual world. darkness and light. And just a few thoughts here before we go into the main part, but of the message. Genesis 1, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And what was where did that light come from? Well, it was before God created the sun, moon, and stars, those heavenly bodies that give us light today. God is, well, that's one illustration. Another illustration is, you think about the time when the Israelites were in the land of Egypt, and God was going to bring them out, and he brought plagues upon Egypt. And one of the plagues was the plague of darkness. And remember, it was darkness that could be felt. And it was for 3 days. But if you look in Exodus 10, verse 20, 22, it says that all the Israelites had light in their dwellings, in their houses. They had light inside their houses. I don't know if you can see that from the outside. Probably not. It wasn't like Thomas Kincaid painting and the light shining out the windows. No, it was just inside their dwellings. And quite a dividing line, wasn't it, between the darkness and the light there. And again, the children of Israel, when they were crossing the Red Sea, remember how the Egyptians were following them, pursuing them, and as they were at the Red Sea, the Israelites didn't know where to go. God hadn't parted the sea yet. The Egyptians were still coming, and they were afraid. They were crying to Moses. The Israelites were crying to Moses and saying, "You brought us out here to be destroyed." And God said to Moses, "You just stand still and see what I'm going to do." And what did God do? But he had the pillar of cloud come instead of leading the children of Israel, come behind them, was between them and the Egyptians. And of course, when it got dark, then it was the pillar of fire, and which gave light. It gave light to the Israelites, Exodus tells us, Exodus 14. But it did not give any light to the Egyptians that night. Clear division there. I think in the spiritual world, it's easy for God's angels and Satan's demons to see the darkness and the light. I think they can see that very clearly in the spiritual world. Well, thinking about God and the light that he gave there in Genesis 1. God is light. Turn with me to Isaiah 45. This is a beautiful passage, and it's given in the context that God is talking through the prophet Isaiah. He is speaking to Cyrus, that leader of the Persians, leader of one of the world empires. But look in verse 5, Isaiah 45 and verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee," he's talking about Cyrus, "I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." And here he offers evidence that he's the Lord. Verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." In Psalm 97, in verse 11, we have this verse, "Light is sown for the righteous. and gladness for the upright in heart. That verse is the verse that I began to ponder and think, and I was thinking about that verse and became inspired to bring this message this morning. And I thought of, you know, a number of questions. Who plants light? How does it, where is it planted, and where does it come up? And well, those are some questions that we don't know, but I think that the Lord is the one that plants the light. He says, I form the light and create it. And so that brings us to our first consideration here. And that is that light is sprung up. As God, as taking this thought that God planted the light is sprung up. You can turn with me to Matthew 4. Here we find that phrase. Matthew 4. In verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Well, what's the context here? What is taking place? What's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry? And the verses before, and the verse that we read, quotes from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And we could look at those verses, Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, and Isaiah 42, 7, is where these thoughts come from. But here's the thought that light is sprung up. Suddenly, there's a light. Let's turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, for some more verses. John 1, and you, those that study the Bible and read it, know that this is speaking about Jesus here, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1. All things were made by Him, verse 3. Verse 4, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And probably in your Bible that word is capitalized there, light, that all men through him might believe. Jesus is the light. That's the capital L-I-G-H-T. He says here in verse 5 that the light shined in darkness. And so how that must be, how must that have looked in the world, in the spirit world, we could say, that this light, suddenly there was a light, it sprung up. Light has sprung up. And in Luke 2, when I can't remember the man's name now. Who was it that held Jesus in his arms? Simeon, right? Simeon, he said that that the day spring on high, no, it wasn't him. It was Zacharias, I'm sorry. That the day spring on high, from on high, hath visited us. That's Luke 1:78. What Simeon said was that he looked at Jesus and he said that he's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And so these men of old, Zacharias, Simeon, they connected this together with the coming of the Messiah, that it was a light springing up. And John the Baptist came and he said that he wasn't that light. Well, it was what John wrote here. In the Gospel of John, he said he wasn't that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. And John John was faithful, John the Baptist was faithful in bearing witness to Jesus. Well, the light, heavenly light, came when Jesus came, but it was veiled. It was veiled in flesh. And John chapter 1 speaks about that. It says that, let's just turn back, or maybe you're still there in John 1. It says verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then there's a parenthesis. But let's just think about the Word was made flesh. The light was veiled in flesh. And another poet captured that as well when he said, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity." And John here in verse 9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So through Jesus, every person sees light. Every person gets a glimpse of light through Jesus. I don't know how to explain that, but that's what the Bible says. We know that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And when we think of the conscience that God has given us, I think about the verse in Proverbs that talks about the candle of the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Psalm 18:28 says that the Lord will light my candle. I think that's all through Jesus. When Jesus comes, there's light. Now, back to verse 14 here in John 1. It says that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then there's a parenthesis. And inside that we have, "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." There was a time in Jesus' ministry that veil was taken away just for a brief moment. Or at least the light was allowed to show through it. And that was the time of the transfiguration. Remember, it was Peter and James and John who went with Jesus up to the mountain to pray. You can find that in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of those Gospels record that. And there he was unveiled. He was transfigured, it says, that before them. Actually, the disciples were sleeping. And as Jesus was praying, this change came over him. His face changed. It's shown as the sun, Matthew says. And his clothing became white, whiter than any fuller on earth could make it. And the disciples woke up and were dazzled and stunned by this. But this was a moment when the light was allowed to shine through the veil of flesh. Jesus spoke about light. This light that sprung up. Turn with me to John 8. He says here, plainly, John 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And in John 12, he said, I am come a light into the world." And what does he say here in the rest of verse 12 here in John 8? "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Remember, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I am come, a light into the world. John 12, now there's a couple of verses here I'd like to look at as well. John 12 and verse 35, he says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And then Jesus departed from them. A little later on, in verse 44, he speaks again, and he cries, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This is speaking spirit of spiritual light, spiritual darkness. Jesus said, if you believe in me, follow me. If you believe in the light, follow me. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And so there's a thought there that when each person has the opportunity, God gives each person the opportunity through Jesus to see that light. Each person has to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Am I going to get a little closer? Am I going to go toward the light? Or am I going to turn away from the light? The light will not always be here. We read that here in verse 35. He says, walk while ye have light. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. So there's this, as we follow Jesus, we need to keep going, because Jesus keeps bringing light to us, keeps showing us light, and we need to keep going, or else the darkness overtakes us. That's why it's important for us to continue in Jesus' words. Reading his word also, and living it out, we follow Jesus in the way. The darkness will overtake us if we don't continue to follow the light. Now, the second thing is that, second point here is that light makes manifest. Or light reveals things. It shows things. It shows what actually is there. I'm going to refer to Ephesians 5. We're going to read this a little later. We don't have to turn to it. But it says here that all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And he says, then, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Spiritually, we are at this place. All men, all people are in darkness. Proverbs 4:19 says that the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And we could read in Proverbs 2, where we have the way or the it's wisdom that delivers a person from the way of the wicked man and the way of the wicked woman. You can read that in Proverbs 2. It talks about there in verse 13 that it's the ways of darkness. And instead of leading to life, it leads to death. Another scripture here in Acts 26, thinking of that light makes manifest. Acts 26, verse 18, this is Paul's testimony as he stood and spoke to King Agrippa. Paul gives an account of his conversion on the way to Damascus, the road to Damascus. And he gives us some details that Jesus said to him there. And Jesus said that he is going to send Paul, after he's converted, to the Gentiles. And he wants him to be his minister. But verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To turn them from darkness to light. There's no question in my mind that we are all in darkness. Many other scriptures we could look at that bring that out. Now, turn with me to John chapter 3, back to the Gospel of John again, John chapter 3. And I'd like to illustrate this with an example. I'm going to ask the usher to turn off the lights in the auditorium here in the pulpit. It'd be after 5:30 in the evening, it would be a little more vivid of an example. The room's not as dark as it would be in the evening. But I would like to use this candle to illustrate what Jesus teaches here in John chapter 3. Remember I said how that when the light comes to us, then we have to make a choice whether we're going to go towards it or whether we're going to back away from it. And that's what Jesus tells us here in John chapter 3. We know the verse, Jordan quoted it in his testimony, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Remember, thinking about the light making manifest, we have that word there in verse 21. That manifest is that it's exposed. It's brought to the light where it can be seen what it really is. Notice the words in verse 20. He says that he talks about the word or the word there is come. Neither cometh. The root word is come. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. So just as a candle like this in a dark room, you can't deny that it's there in a dark room. You can't honestly deny that it's there. Because it's a presence, isn't it, in a dark room? Light is silent, as we sang this morning. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, that hymn. Silent as light. You could ignore it, just ignore the light, In fact, evildoers do more than that. Verse 20 here, it says that they hate the light. Why do they hate the light? Why do people hate light? Well, it's because the light shows up their evil, their evil deeds. It shows who they really are. And as I said before, in the spirit world, I don't think it's hard for it to be known. Whether this person is part of the kingdom of God or whether he's part of the kingdom of Satan. Whether he's in light or he's in darkness. But for mankind, somehow we think that we can get by with not coming to the light, just ignoring the light. We choose not to come to the light. But in verse 21, you see the opposite is that he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Just as you would, if you were in this room and it was dark, if you were at the back, I wouldn't be able to tell who you were probably. Probably wouldn't be able to recognize your face. But as you would come forward and come close to the light, then I could see who you are. And the same way with me, I could back away from the light, or I could hide behind the pulpit. You wouldn't know till I come to the light. And of course, the light, as we noticed in John 1, capital L, I-G-H-T, the light of Jesus, we need to follow that and to follow in the way, or else soon darkness overtakes us. He that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. No, it's not all about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God is doing in us. And so we need to be close to his word. Proverbs 6:23. Thy word is a lamp, and the law is a light. And we know the familiar passage. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the light of the glorious gospel shining in our hearts. Well, this brings us now to, I'm sorry, I wanted to say one more thing here under about the light making manifest. There is a solemn truth that we all must hear and we all must reckon with. And that's in Proverbs 24:20. Let's just turn to that because I would like you to see this. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. That's a solemn, that's something that God will do to all those that choose not to come to the light, lest their deeds be revealed. Those that turn away from the light, that hate the light and ignore the light. And in fact, we know that Jesus spoke about those that were wicked, they were cast into outer darkness. And they're weeping and gnashing of teeth. So just as I can extinguish this, so God put out the candle of the wicked. Thank you. Thinking now of the saints in light, Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you see how what the Lord does for us? We need to be giving thanks to him. He's made us meet to be partakers. And he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He just changes us. Second Peter 2 and verse 9 and 10. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he goes on and says that you were not a people, but now you are, and you didn't have mercy, but now you have obtained it. And this light, now turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 19. This, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the Lord has been doing that all through the years, ever since man sinned. And we could look at people that he worked with to do that. But look here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start reading at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter's talking about the apostles. And he's also speaking now. Well, he's going to, I'll tell the story here before I read it. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Hey, he's talking about the transfiguration. He's talking about the time when the light shone through, was allowed to shine through the veil of flesh. And then he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's speaking about the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And he's speaking about which are God's word. And then he's saying, we also have, in addition to that, we have this time that we're living in when there's been fulfillment of those Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus, the Messiah, had come and he fulfilled many, many Old Testament prophecies. And so he said, we need to take heed to the Scripture. God is calling men and women of all time out of darkness into light. And he says there in verse 19, you need to take heed to this, just as you would take heed to a light that shineth in a dark place. until the day dawn and this day star arise in your heart. And so he says that's how the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets, the prophecies, they were that light that shone. It's still shining in a dark place. But there's coming a time, he says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, I think there's two, well, I don't know if there's two different things there, but I know that he's talking about how the light that comes into our hearts, when we let the light of Jesus come into our hearts and shine in our hearts, we get close to that light and let it manifest who we are. That's the day star arising in our hearts. Now, the day star is the star that comes before the sun rises. It's like, you know, the morning star, Venus. But then he says, about until the day dawn. I'm not sure why these are switched around. It seems like it'd be the other way, but it makes me think of in Malachi, where it talks about that when the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, if I'm quoting that right. We know that Jesus is the bright and morning star till he rise in our hearts. Someday, Jesus is going to come back in power and great glory. And we could turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says that he will destroy that wicked one, the man of sin, with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming. We need to take heed. He says, you do well that you take heed to these scriptures, to these prophecies, and know that this is not cunningly devised fables. This is not by the will of man. He says that in verse 21. It was not by the will of man, but it was God moving by the Holy Ghost. He moved holy men to write and to speak and to write his word. And so what's left for us is that we need to believe. Remember what we read in John 12:36? We need to believe the word to be the children of light. Walk as children of light. As being part of the saints in light, we need to walk as children of light. Now turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. And then he goes on and he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And he says, put away lying. Verse 25, 26, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. This is walking as children of light. This is how God wants us to live. This is what he's calling us. He's calling us to live this way. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In chapter 5, be ye followers of God as dear children, walk in love. And we could go on and read all of this. Verse 8 of chapter 5, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. It just brings to me that sharp division that we can't see in the physical world, but it's very evident in the spiritual world. Darkness and light. And what does he say in verse 11? "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Yes, that's part of walking as children of light. You know, we know this from stories that we've read, stories in the Bible, stories of Christians in the past, even of Christians today, that the life that's lived for God, the life of someone who's following Jesus, it's a shining testimony. And it calls people to a response. They have to decide whether they're going to say that this is what I want, or whether they're going to be ignoring it, or whether they're going to hate it. Proverbs 4:18 says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. As I was pondering this verse, I always thought of it as the just person walks on the path toward heaven, that it gets brighter and brighter the closer he gets to heaven. But I suppose that's true, but as I look at this, it says here that it's the path. It's the way of the just that's the shining light. So it's like when the just, as they follow Jesus and people see that, where they're going and how they're living, that's what's shining. "It shineth more and more unto the perfect day." I think that's the only place in the Bible where you have that phrase, perfect day. It's the only place I could find it. And one of the poets, one of the songs we sing around Christmas time, put that into a song, "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem," and we sing that, following the star into the land of perfect day. "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on." Only God's light doesn't cast a shadow. Right? When in the path of the just, there's no shadow behind you. The path is as a shining light. Because God's light doesn't depend on luminaries like the sun and the moon and so on. It's light to the perfect day. It's just light everywhere. Well, the saints in light are on their way to the city of light. And that's a whole sermon in itself. I'm not going to take the time to look at the city of light this morning. But it's in Revelation 21 and 22. You can read that. And what is the light of the city of light? It says that there's no sun, no moon, no needed, not, none of that's needed to shine. But who's the light? Yes, the Lamb. The Lamb is the light thereof. Well, I'm thankful, so thankful this morning that light has sprung up. I'm thankful that we all get a glimpse of that light, and that we can come to that light and allow it to show us ourselves as we are. You know, sometimes we say about reading the Word, we look into the mirror and we see what's in there. Let's not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the work. That we can be part of the saints in light, saints of light, and be all together there in the city of light. May God bless each of us in our Christian walk, and help us to be steadfast. Let's kneel for prayer.